Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
I want you to know that God made you, and when He made you, He said, it is very good. Do you know that about yourself? Was 2019 a year of looking at yourself and saying, what's my purpose? Why did God create me? Why am I going through this? Does it not mean anything to God that I feel this way? Maybe that was you. I know it was me some at different parts of the year, like, God, what am I doing here? I don't know what I'm doing. But God reaffirms to us that He made us. And if you need a reminder, you need to go back to the scripture in Genesis when He created everything. You are His most valued creation. He made you, and He said, it is everything else He said is good. And it was good.
Good.
Yeah. But when He made you, when He made those He had, He said, I'm going to make them because I need a relationship with them. And it's very good. I want you to leave here knowing that you are very good. Not in your behavior, because none of us can be that without God. But your being. God made you, and it is very good. And that's how you need to know you are in God's eyes when you start this year off. It's not what you've done. Not what you did in 2019 that you need to change, but there is some things that need to change, right? There's some attitudes that need to change. There's some thought processes. There's some philosophies. There's some actions. There's some habits they need to change. We are a changing being that God created. Not His intention was not to stay us to stay the same as we are, but to grow and to mature. And you know that. We've said that. Scripture tells us that. But I want you to start 2020 saying that God made me, and when He made me, He said it was very good. And I want you to take that into 2020. But I'm so glad that you're here to begin a new year of hearing from God, encouraging each other, lifting up the name of Jesus together. God is here, so let's honor Him together. Amen? So what I want you to do is I want you to open your heart. I want you to speak inside your mind or say it aloud if you want. God, I'm opening my heart. Speak to me anything you want to say to me today. May I hear it loud and clear, Lord. I want to hear from God today. Bob Goff tells a story about how the fireworks show on the 4th of July in San Diego is one of the best on the planet. Never been there, never seen him, but I'm going to take his word for it. That's his perspective. People fly in from all over to witness this spectacular one-hour event. He says the city loads four barges down with these fireworks and synchronizes them with patriotic music. Nothing that we don't know, right? We've seen those kinds of things before. Thousands of fireworks are put on display. One year, instead of a perfect symphony of pyrotechnics, he says, someone made a mistake and hit the wrong button. Every single firework went off all at once. Thousands of them went off all at once. Instead of an hour of incredible light show, it was over in 30 seconds. It was 9 o'clock at night, but for 30 seconds, the sky was lit like it was noon. He said, it was awesome. He said more than a few people lost their eyebrows that night. And the people who pushed the button, they probably lost their job, but they probably said it was worth it. Now, when people come to see fireworks, they are waiting in more anticipation and more expectation for when that button is pushed, what they will witness, what will happen. Church, how expectant, how much are you anticipating what God is going to do for you, with you, and right in front of you in 2020? Are you expectant? Did you just come? Did you wake up on January 1st and say, oh, it's another day? Oh, it's another decade. Oh, it's another year. It's going to be the same. What's going to happen? What's going to be so different? Are you anticipating the best light show ever? Are you anticipating remaining in the darkness? Are you expecting that more people will be drawn to Jesus for salvation, and you can't wait to be a part of that or see it happen? Have you ever come into the new year thinking that? It's like, more people need to come to Jesus. More people need to be saved and call him Lord. And Lord, I want to be a part of that. I am waiting expectantly for when you call me to be a part of that. Or when you present an opportunity in front of me to be a part of that. When we walk with Jesus in every moment of our lives, those moments matter. That was our theme in 2019. But I'm not going to change that for 2020. You see, I think we need to build upon it. Make every moment matter. So matter in the moment and make every moment matter, but I'm going to tell you in a few moments what we're going to add to that this year. There's no question something awesome is going to happen, though. That's got to be our perspective. It might be a big success or an epic fail. If you fail, fail big. The only question is, how close will you be when all the fireworks go off? Church, we are called to live a life of constant anticipation every day. And believe me, I can get up, and I've said it to some folks before, I come into the office and my week is like the same every week. I've got to be intentional about mixing it up a little bit, my day-to-day things. I need that. I need some change. I need some different. It's okay to be familiar with some things, but sometimes I need to mix my life up, mix my heart up, mix my mind. Well, it's already mixed up, but I need God to blow my plans up sometimes. Because I don't have all the answers. If you're looking to me, I'm trying to hear from God too. But I need God to say, Mike, he doesn't call me Pastor Mike. He calls me Mike, because that's my name. And he knows my name. He knows my heart. And sometimes my heart strays. Sometimes my mind strays. And I think that my plan is the best. And God says, wait, nope. If you go that way, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's not going to work. And if you keep going that way, I'm about to blow it up. Because I need you to see me. I need you to hear me. I need you to follow me. But he wants us to anticipate. He wants us to push the button and see what happens. You see, we may think we may be in line with God, but God will redirect us. Our hearts are good. He sees our hearts. Our intentions are good. He sees those. And we still sometimes go the wrong direction. But we have good intention. Our heart is like, I want to hear you, God. But for me, I don't know about you. I've never heard God speak audibly like I'm speaking to you right now. But he speaks inside of me. He speaks in my spirit. He speaks through his word. He speaks through godly people to me. And I need to open up my ears and hear. And I need to anticipate that God is going to say something incredible to me every day. And I need to push the button on it and say, let's go. Let's see what's going to happen. Trusting Jesus is like watching a lit fuse. It's only a matter of time before he's going to do something awesome in your life. What's going to go off? Friends, you have to be ready to press the button and let the fireworks show begin in your life. We need to let the Lord light up our life this year. Our next 4 weeks together, and I pray you will not miss one of them, is to help us understand that we are made for mission. We are not made to sit on our couches all the time and watch TV. We are not made to go into our houses and shut our doors and shut our blinds and shut our garage doors and not connect with the outside world. We are not made for that. We are made for mission. You have a mission, and there are steps in the mission that lead to a vision. To accomplish a vision that God has given you personally, that God has given us as a church. But if we don't live out, not just speak, not just memorize, but live out the action steps in the mission, the vision will never be realized. You have to commit to that in your own personal walk and with this church that you have committed to. You have to be on board. You have to be on the same page as God that he's taking us. It's all in black and white and red in the Bible. That we have a purpose. That we have a mission that we should be executing to make the vision of God has for us become a reality. That his kingdom be made known on earth. And you are part of that mission. You are part of reaching that vision that God created. You are part of that purpose and that plan. But it will never be realized if we are not being and doing what we were made for. Mission. And this mission, yes, you have a choice. And should you choose to accept it, I was waiting to use that line. If you're for God, then there is no other choice. You have to accept the mission to follow God. Not accepting the mission is not following God. Not accepting the mission, you can't call yourself a follower of Christ if you don't accept the mission. And the mission is for all of us. Every single one who has trusted Jesus and the work that he did on the cross and the work that he did by raising from the dead. If you don't accept the mission, and I know those are hard words, and I'm not going to apologize for saying them, then you are not a follower of Christ. Because we all have to accept the mission and do what God has asked us to do. So who are you going to be? That's what I want to ask you today. Let's pray. God, I only have the words that you spoke to me this week. These last, 4 weeks. And Father, these messages coming ahead have been labor for me. You have worked over my heart, and you have worked over my mind. And God, I'm still unsure of every exact word that's supposed to be spoken today. But God, you know, and I'm relying on you. And I'm relying that every heart that's open today will receive exactly what you have for them today. Whether it's a word, whether it's a phrase, whether it's an idea, whatever it is, Lord, speak. And I pray that my brothers and sisters here today are listening with open hearts and open minds. And Father, that they are going to get on board with your mission because that's what they were made for. Bless this time now to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I want you to do is open your Bibles if you have them. Open your Bible app if you have it. Or look on the screen if you have neither of those. And I want us to go to the book of Acts chapter 19. Acts 19. Starting with verse 11. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick. And their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims, seven sons of the Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, get this, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit leaped on them mastered all of them and overpowered them, so they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Can you picture that? And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them, and the name of the Lord of Jesus was extolled. And many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Church, Fountain Family, there is no secondary spirituality. You cannot live on the spirituality. If you're a student in here today, you can't continue to live on the spirituality of your parents. You have to have your own faith. You can't continue to live on the spirituality if you're a new believer on the person who's discipling you. It's your spirituality. It's between you and God. No one else can develop Christian maturity on your behalf. No one can live someone else's example in front of others. Only you can live your own example. Paul had a powerful walk with God. We know that from Scripture. God used him so mightily, and extraordinary miracles occurred throughout his life. Claws that touched Paul were taken to the sick, and the sick were healed. Evil spirits were cast out. Paul's preaching and teaching were instrumental in building a strong church in Ephesus. Paul's ministry was so impressive that others tried to duplicate it. Seven sons of the chief priest attempted to cast out demons the way that Paul did. They confronted the evil spirits with, by Jesus and Paul, by the Jesus that Paul preaches, I cast out these demons. These men were trying to use a spiritual power that Paul had acquired after years of closely walking with the Lord. Spiritual maturity is not an instant thing. You can't grab it, put it in a cup, pour milk in, and all of a sudden you have spiritual maturity. It's a relationship. It comes with walking with the Lord. They could imitate Paul's words, but they could not duplicate the power that was through his personal relationship with God. And when they tried, the evil spirit spoke, Jesus I know, and Paul I've heard of, but who are you? In other words, who do you think you are that we should be afraid of your words or your commands? Then the evil spirits attacked these sons of the chief priests. The evil spirits were fearfully aware of who Jesus was. James 2 says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and they shudder. They know Jesus. Those sons of Sceva were not Jesus. They were also familiar with Paul's influence over powers of darkness. But the demons had no knowledge, no recollection of these men who had no personal relationship with Jesus. So let me ask you, how is your relationship with Jesus? Is it one that if you were spoken to by a demon, they would know who you are? Oh, whoa, wait a minute, I know they're speaking, they're working. This person, I can see they know the Lord and they walk with the Lord and the Lord has given them the power. We got to stay away from those people. Or maybe you've heard this. If you were put on trial for being a follower of Christ, would there be enough evidence to convict you? You can duplicate the words and deeds of a spiritually mature Christian, but you cannot inherit his or her walk with the Lord. That's what we need to start with in 2020. Where is your walk with the Lord going to take you? Spiritual maturity takes effort. It comes over time, over test, and over trial. If you ignore the place of prayer, conversation with God, like Chris just said, it's a two-way street. It's me talking, but it's me listening. And if you neglect your relationship with Christ, you will not grow in your faith. You will not grow. You may think you have faith, but you will not grow if you are not in the Word, if you're not cultivating a relationship with the Lord and walking with the Lord, you will not have faith. You may think you have faith, but you won't. Imitating the faith of others will not give you victory. Only as you nurture your own relationship with Jesus and what he's doing in your life, you will be filled with the spiritual maturity and power. And when you have the spiritual maturity, your faith, you will also get up every day and anticipate what Jesus is going to do with you, in you, for you, and because of you. Why? To bring God the glory. Can you get on board with this? It's not to elevate you and me. It's to elevate the name of Jesus. It's to bring glory to the one who created us, who said you matter, who said you are very good. But you've been created for a purpose. You were made for mission. And you have to get on board with what God's mission is for you, not what you say, and say, Lord, can you bless it? If you go to our website, on the homepage, you will find our vision statement. It says, connect with God, grow in Christ, and engage the world. That's our vision. Now, that's a pretty broad vision, But a lot of things, I mean, these are three things are the things that all churches who lift up Jesus speak. They just do it in different words. Like we have different Bible translations and different versions. You can look at a scripture and the message is the same, but it's just spoken in different words. Every church that believes in Jesus and the inerrancy of the Bible and God is supreme, that Jesus died for us and rose again, that the Holy Spirit indwells us, our vision is the same. To worship God, to lift up the name of Jesus, to grow as a disciple, and to reach the world. Those are the basic things. But the mission is what changes and what modifies the mission that God has given us. Because the mission can be different for every church on how to get there. Because churches are filled with different people, different cultures, different economic status, different generations, different ethnicities, different communities. And so the mission to get to the vision is going to be slightly different for everybody. If I would do my personal mission is not the same mission that God's given you to get to the vision. And so we have to understand that while our vision remains, the mission or the way we make the vision real should always be evaluated and modified. If necessary for us to accomplish the vision, that being connected with God, growing in Christ, and engaging the world will be realized. Our theme this past year, as we were on mission, was every moment matters, so... Oh, I love that. I love that. But you see, that's not going to stop, right? We don't give up that so we can do something new. No, we're going to build upon that. Because your spiritual maturity, you build upon what has already been laid. The foundation was laid, so you build upon the foundation. And you just go take the next step that the Holy Spirit, that the Lord shows us. This year, as we affirm our mission, my intention is not to abandon last year's, but to build upon it, to further ingrain this idea into our minds and actions and emotions and our habits. Watch this video.
Hey, Mr. Fisher. Mr. Fisher, can I talk to you for a second?
Back off, coach, if you want to stay in this game.
I've got holding on 78 white.
What are you... Are you trying to cheat my boys out the game?
15 more yards.
Listen, let them play, ref. Let them play.
Reasonable.
Let them play. Let the boys play. Cheater.
Coach, come on.
Cheater.
Coach.
Go, 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 go!
I know all about it, Titus.
What are you talking about, Bill?
You call this game fair, or I'll go to the papers. I don't care if I go down with you. But before God, I swear I'll see every last one of you thrown in jail.
You dig your own grave.
Defense! On me!
Okay, Petey, don't you drift to the strong side.
Coach, they're calling a holding penalty on me every time.
Did I ask for your excuses? You want to act like a star? You better give me a star effort. Do you hear me? Forget about him. Alan, you're it. Come on.
All right. Now, I don't want them to gain another yard.
You blitz all night. And if they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm going to take every last one of you out. You make sure that they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Leave no doubt.
Come on, girl. Swing it up. Swing it up.
make yourself comfortable down there. Real comfortable.
Coach.
All right, baby. All right.
You brought us here, Coach.
Run it up, Herman. Leave no doubt.
I'm sorry. I should apologize ahead of time. It was violent. Do you think the enemy is going to be any less violent? Are we going to make excuses? Well, they're calling holding, Lord, or Coach. He said, well, go. I don't have time to deal with that. Are you making excuses to the Lord why you can't go? Another one of my favorite. I know you hear a lot about my favorite movies, but that's another one because in there, that passage, and I'm sorry it was so long, but I had to let it build up and all the hits and everything because we have got to do that to the enemy. We can't make excuses, and we can't leave doubt of who we are. The enemy's got to know who we are. And he won't know who we are if we're living a life that doesn't say or doesn't expect or doesn't grow. If we're not growing spiritually, the enemy doesn't know who we are. We have to leave no doubt. When we go into the world, when we go and make a difference, when we go and matter, when we make every moment matter, we have to leave no doubt who we are, whose we are, and what we've come to do. Our neighbor has to have no doubt that we're a follower of Christ. Our coworker has to have no doubt who we believe in. When you encounter people, even strangers, leave them better than when you found them. When you have a problem with the person over the phone, or you have a discrepancy, or you have a disagreement, leave no doubt who you reflect and who you live for. Leave no doubt. Church, our theme that will keep us on mission and will constantly move us toward the vision of the church is to leave no doubt. John 3:30 says this, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Is that what your life looks like? Or is it the other way around? Yes, I believe in Jesus, but look at me. I must decrease so that he can increase, that people see him. Leave no doubt that Jesus lives in you, that Jesus is working through you, and Jesus is building his kingdom here on earth with you. Other versions of that same scripture passage say he must become greater and I must become less, or Jesus must be more important while I become less important. He must become greater and greater and I must become less and less. Because you see, that's what we're turning into. We're supposed to be Christ here on earth, with Jesus with skin on, to the people of the world. Salt and light to a world who needs Jesus. Our choice of words will be, he must increase and I must decrease. Church, is the deepest basis of our joy God's greatness or our own greatness? Are we more satisfied praising him or being praised? Are we God-centered because of his surpassing value, or are we God-centered because he highlights our surpassing value? Would it be heaven to us if we were to see God or be God? People we encounter must have no doubt that Jesus is in us and who we live for, that seeks to connect with them, bind their wounds, give them life, show them compassion, kindness, and love. It's because of Jesus, it's Jesus through us, and they need to know that. Now, you don't need to go and say, hey, I've got Jesus in me, so I'm going to show kindness today to you. Because of Jesus, I've come to you. Let your actions just speak. The Holy Spirit will provide an opportunity to speak his name, to lead them to the cross, to draw them near to God, And maybe it's in that moment, but maybe it's not. Have a discerning spirit because of your walk with the Lord, because you're growing in your maturity. It's not a second-hand spirituality. It's a first-hand between you and God. So you know when the Lord speaks, and you know when the Lord says, be silent, and you know when the Lord says, wait. That comes with spiritual maturity. It's Christ that draws them. We are the tool. We are the conduit. We are the vehicle that will take them to Jesus. John 3:31 continues and says, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. My prayer is that as you make every moment matter, and you matter in every moment in 2020, this year you will leave no doubt to who you are, whose you are, and why you do what you do, especially as we fulfill and get to the part of the vision that says engage the world. Your co-workers, your family, your friends, your neighbors, it extends to this community God has planted in us, and it spreads from there. Other cities, other states, other countries, like we've been to Guatemala and Peru, and this year we have been to, just our money right now and our prayers, but physically to India. God will give us the opportunity to spread his word, to be Jesus to all people when it suits his will and his way. Whoever God calls us to, whatever opportunity he affords us, we should have the mindset to leave no doubt that we are on a mission for God. That God loves all people, and that we should leave no doubt that we have the same love for the people that God loves. The people who you call your enemy, they should have no doubt who you love and that God's love is coming through you, and that's where it comes from. Our purpose is good works. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He already knows what you're called to do. He just hasn't unveiled it yet. He's not going to give you the whole plan. He's not going to let you drink from the fire hose. He's not going to make you jump off of a cliff. He's going to tell you, well, in faith he might, but he's going to give you the step you need to take. Matthew 5 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify you. No, glorify your Father in heaven. 1 Peter 2 says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable so that when they speak against you as an evildoer, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. It's about God. It's about lifting up the name of Jesus. Charlotte gave me a new daily devotional for Christmas, which I love, by one of my favorite authors. And I quoted something from him at the beginning, Bob Goff. If you haven't read any of his books, a couple of his books is Everyone, Always, and Love Does. Two of my favorite books of last year. And I encourage you to pick one of them up and read it. It's about loving people where they are. He said in day two, regarding some of those resolution things we tend to make and don't fulfill, he says, don't plan on doing it or make a resolution to do it the way people hope to go to the gym. Just do it. No plan, no agenda, just Jesus leaking out through you into the world. Our lives are like a series of positive experiences and more than a few negative ones. Make your life about people and you won't regret it. There's no gym to join, no pounds to lose. Hallelujah. Our hearts and minutes are what make up our lives. And God never intended relationships to be an afterthought. Make this year about people. We won't give our friends the love they deserve if we try to work them in when our lives slow down. If you have to choose between your plans and loved ones or people, go with the sure thing and choose loving people. Last year was another book. I'm always reading some stuff and talking to our elders about things that can move our church along, whether strategically. Grant and I are meeting about systems in the church to make them better and shore up. There's a lot of broken systems in the church because we need people to help and people to get on board. Running a church is a big thing. But there was a little book that we read that spoke a lot to us at the beginning of this past year, and it's called Scrappy Church. It speaks about a church having welcome readiness for when guests make their way through the doors. We look at things like welcome readiness. Are we at the door? Are we there on time? Do we have smiling faces? Do they know where to take him? Or there's lots of things that go into it, but it's called welcome readiness. What he says about welcoming guests is the same as it should be, though, when we encounter a person in our life. Are you welcome ready? Is your heart ready to encounter whoever God brings into your life or walks into your life that day? Personal welcome readiness is so much about our attitudes, because we can say, well, I don't want to talk to anybody today. That's it. Lord, I'm just don't bring anybody my way. I can't talk to them today. We should preferably seek to see others as Jesus sees them, though. Jesus never saw somebody as an inconvenience. We should have a servant attitude toward people. All people. All people. The angry, bitter person at the grocery store. The homosexual in the cubicle next to you. The convict that rides your bus. You fill in the blank. God calls us to love all people. We should rejoice in their presence and let them know it. Because God connected you with them. And if God connected you with them, He has a purpose and a mission for you, should you choose to accept it. And if you're a follower of Christ, there's no choice. There's only one. Accept it. If you sit here and think that just being a believer is enough, then I unapologetically will tell you that you are wrong. You should know that Jesus wants you to participate. In fact, He requires you to participate, no matter what condition you're in. Well, I'm broken. Well, I'm tired. Well, I have no energy. Well, it's been a hard year. Believe me, as a pastor, I know some people who have lost some people and a number of people this year. But God will take care of them through people. You can still be used. You can still say, yes, Lord, I am ready and willing to do whatever it is I need to do. Because I know it's by your power and it's by your strength that it'll get done. You are not only a disciple, but you are a disciple maker. The mission is the same for all who trust Jesus and His work on the cross and believe in His resurrection, His victory over death. Go into all the world and make disciples. Go into all the world and make disciples. If you're a follower of Christ, you're a disciple maker. My son Garrett just went back to school this week, and he went to Passion Conference. And we were supposed to hook up. He forgot some things that he forgot to take back to college with him. And so we were going to meet him on Saturday to, part way and then take him to dinner and give him the things that he forgot. And he, on Friday night, it was late, and he said, and it wasn't going to be until later in the afternoon because he had to work, but he called me late that night, Friday night, and said, hey, Dad, I don't have to work as many hours as I thought, so I can meet y'all like at 1:30 if you want. So I said, great. I hadn't told Charlie yet because she was asleep, and so I'll tell her in the morning. And then it was about 2:49 in the morning, my phone rings. And whenever you see your son's or your child's name on the phone at that time in the morning, you wonder, uh-oh, what's going on? What is going on? So I answer the phone. I said, yeah? And he says, hey, I just want to know, we might have to play it by ear tomorrow. I'm at the emergency room. Well, you never start with that, okay? It's like, don't lead me that way. I'm in the emergency room. What's going on? How are you? How's the car? That's what's going through my mind, and he hasn't even said anything after that yet. He said, a friend of mine got sick, started throwing up, couldn't even stand up, and was having a hard time, and we needed to go to the emergency room. So I'm at the emergency room with him and waiting. So I'm just telling you that we may have to modify what time we're going to meet tomorrow. I said, okay, that's fine, no worries. Are you okay? Are you awake enough? Whatever. They're not far. The hospital's not far from the campus. He said, no, it's fine. I'll text you when we get back, and we'll make some decisions later. I said, okay, that's fine. He texted me at 5:49 and said, we just got back to the apartment. He's resting. I'm going to go to bed. I'll talk to you a little bit later. I said, okay. We finally decided that we were going to meet today, so we're going to meet him today. But that's what it's about. There's a person that comes into my life that needs something. There's a reason that we're connected. Leave no doubt that you love people. Leave no doubt that God loves people and that He's loving them through you. They may not agree with you. It's okay. That can work itself out. But if you don't build a relationship, if you don't be God, if you don't be Jesus, because Jesus didn't come to condemn, right? He came to save. He came to save. Your job is to bring him to Jesus. And sometimes you can't just say, hey, you're doing wrong. I'm going to show you the right way. Let's go to Jesus. You can't do that. Do they trust you? You might have to build that trust. You might have to earn the right to be heard. But I'm telling you what, my son, with this guy, he's earning the right to be heard. He just came off a passion conference too, so he's probably on cloud nine and he's ready to conquer the world, I'm sure. But that's the way it should be every day for us, right? We wake up and say, yes, Jesus, whatever it is. Yes, Jesus. Do in me and through me whatever it is you want to do. I'm yours fully and wholly. And Lord, when I encounter people, I'm going to leave no doubt that they are loved, that they are cared about. And then when I get the chance, I'm going to tell them who it comes from. There's a passage in Scripture where God chooses Moses to lead. Moses puts up a fight, says nobody will follow him. God gives him three miracles to perform to establish confidence with Pharaoh, yet Moses protests again, saying that he stutters. I can't speak. And he asks God to choose someone else. That familiar to anyone in here? God gets a bit perturbed at Moses and instructs him to take Aaron with him. Have you ever asked God if he had the right person when he picked you to do something? Maybe God wants you to do something inexplicable in your life. Are you the one making God perturbed at you because you keep making excuses? Well, God, they keep throwing insults at me. God, they keep making me feel bad. Each of us gets to decide whether to lean in or step back, to say yes, ignore it, or tell God why he has the wrong person. But friends, if God speaks to you, he hasn't chosen the wrong person. You are very good. He made you very good, and you made you with a purpose that's part of kingdom mindedness. It's part of his kingdom. There's a beautiful story in Scripture, another one about Joseph. The story has more turns in it than the mountains between Cherokee, North Carolina, and Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And I know because I've been on them a lot when my son was at Johnson Bible College. And I love going there that way. But it's an emotional roller coaster in Joseph's life. But it ends up with Joseph being second in command to Egypt. Twice at the end of this story in Scripture, Joseph says that the reason God put him where he was to save many lives. Read that story. You will be amazed at what Joseph went through. The trial, the tribulation, the insult, the accusations, the thrown in prison. But God had a greater purpose. And it was to save many lives. The same goes for Jonah and Peter, all the apostles, and Jesus, if you read those stories. God chose them to save many lives. And us? He's chosen us to save many lives. We were meant to save lives. God is always trying to save lives. That's why he sent his son, to save many lives. When you say yes to your mission, your purpose, people find God. Lives are saved when you walk out the mission, because God's vision is to save all people. He's a sovereign God, and he's an all-knowing God, so he knows that all people aren't going to say yes. But that doesn't lessen our mission. People get saved when people see Jesus. We need to be ready whenever God calls, whenever the opportunity presents itself, to leave no doubt who we live for, why we care about people, and our desire is for God to get the glory. This is part one. I'm going to be a mess by the end of this month, because God's given me something for every week of this month that is going to be powerful. I can't change you. These words that I'm giving you can't change you. It's when you open your heart and let the Holy Spirit come in and you believe that it's Him that can change you. God's word is what changes you. I'm just the vehicle. You're just the vehicle to get the word out. We're going to transition right now into communion. That which we do as a church, as believers, those who have trusted Jesus and the work he did, the full gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And these tables have juice and bread on them. In Scripture, the Last Supper, that many of you are familiar with, Jesus gave these things to his apostles. He said, we won't drink together of this again until we're together. But when we come together, we're to remember that. And so this bread, Jesus' body, and this juice, Jesus' blood, is what we think about when we take this. That he gave it for you and me. He was God's love made manifest in front of us, for us, to be written down from inspired men and women of God to give us the words of what he did. And by faith, we choose to believe. And that our hope one day is to make it real face to face with God. But right now, we celebrate it. We thank him for it. And we reevaluate if we're aligned with God every time we take it. And if not, it's a chance to do that. So I'm going to pray right now. If you're a believer, you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this moment is for you. But here's the other moment. Wouldn't it be a great thing to start your year out by giving your life to the Lord? And say, I want to leave no doubt that the Lord has my heart, that the Lord has my mind, that the Lord has my life. I'm going to be right here if you want to talk about that. Or if you want to come up to me afterwards and say, hey, can I make an appointment with you? Or you want to mark on that card, I need to make an appointment with you, Pastor Mike. I want to talk to you about giving my life to the Lord. I would love to have that conversation. I would love to lead you to the cross. But we're going to go into our communion time right now. We've got tables in the front and tables in the back. Let me have a word of prayer, and then you go as you're ready. Father God, we love you. Thank you for today, Lord. We are so blessed to be together. We are yours, Lord. And Lord, I confess there were times that I was discouraged and I was depressed maybe a little bit and I was confused. But it's only when I took my eyes off of you. And I looked at my limitations. I looked at my faults. I looked at my errors. But God, with your strength, we can do all things. We can believe all things. We just have to be available. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for loving us. Showing us that so much that you sent your son. So as we take this communion, this bread and this juice, we remember the body that Jesus sacrificed on our behalf, went to the cross, and the blood that was shed for our forgiveness. So we thank you for this communion. We ask you to bless it to your glory, to our remembrance. In the name of Jesus that I pray.